All right. Good morning, church. Hey, good to see everybody this morning. Let me make a few announcements before we sing some more songs, okay? We have a special contribution this morning. Several of you have asked me, well, what do I do with it, you know? And I know some of you have already put it in the baskets where we put our regular contribution, and that's no problem as long as you've signed on the memo line that it goes for Ukraine. That's great. But we are at the end of the service, during the shepherd's closing prayer, we're going to have the kids take up the Ukraine special contribution. So if you're giving something to Ukraine, be sure and put on the memo line that that's for what it is, and we're taking it up at the end of the service. And I'll just be blunt with you about the reason why we're doing that, is we thought it would be helpful for you to remember as you're giving this gift that a big part of what we have on our hearts about this are the thousands of children, millions of children who are impacted by this. And as our children take up that offering, think about this. What you're giving is to help those refugee children. It really is. So keep that in mind. And we'll send that money through the contacts that Sunset has, because they have missionaries that have actually been in the Ukraine during this. So we want to honor them by sending our gift in that direction. Also, you know that several have asked me about giving for those who have been impacted by the fires. At this time, just so we're not confusing on that, we do encourage you to give to that cause. But there are several opportunities to do that in our local community. And so for right now, we may take up some later in a special way as a church. But right now, if your heart says, I need to give to this, we understand that, and do it directly through those targeted opportunities that we have in our local community. So we appreciate you wanting to do that. Also, we'll still do the children's offering like we normally do before we dismiss to the children's church. And that's for anybody that wants to contribute to it. Again, that offering goes for the Bibles. Our regular offering, of course, put in the baskets that are back at the back of the two aisles. And just let, unless you have a special need for it, you don't have to put anything in the memo line for that one. I hope that's clear and helps you understand. And if it was confusing at the beginning, we apologize for that. But hey, it honors the Lord regardless of how you get it into the hands where it needs to go, right? Let's go to God in prayer. Would you bow with me, please? Father, it is great to be here this morning. We feel a special pull this morning to your cause worldwide. We understand the suffering that is going on in the world, and sometimes it's hard to be rejoicing and excited when we hear about that tragic news that's going on in the world. But at the same time, we are rejoicing because we're your children, because you've invited us to a special kingdom, a kingdom that will never be defeated in war, a kingdom that will never come to an end because of any problems in government or difficulty with its leaders. But we're a part of a kingdom that is eternal. And right now it has an emphasis all over the world to proclaim you as our God and Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit as the power that is beyond all power in all the weapons of the world combined. And we praise you and lift your holy name because of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. If it's convenient, would you please be standing as we continue our worship this morning?
I stand to praise you, but I fall to my knees. My spirit is willing, but my flesh is so weak. Light the fire in my soul, fan the flame, make me whole. Lord, you know where I've been, so light the fire in my heart again. I feel your arms are power of your healing begins. Your Spirit moves right through me like a mighty rushing wind. Light the fire in my soul. Fan the flame, make me whole. Lord, you know where I've been. So light the fire in my heart again. So light the fire in my soul. Fan the flame, make me whole. Lord, you know where I've been. So light the fire in my heart again. Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, my friend in trial sore. I go to him for blessings, and he gives them o'er and o'er. He sends the sunshine and the rain. He sends the harvest, golden grain. Sunshine and rain, harvest of grain. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now, I'll trust him when life's fleeting days shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend. Beautiful life that has no end. Eternal joy. He's my friend.
Please be seated. Be reading from Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 through 25. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land of the Lord, in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. If you carefully observe all these commands I am giving you to follow, to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations larger and stronger than you. Every place where you set your foot will be yours. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the Euphrates River to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you. The Lord your God, as he promised you, will put the terror and fear of you on the whole land wherever you go. Will you pray with us, please?
God, thank you for this day. Pray for the Ukraine and help the people that struggled in the Eastland fires. In your holy son's name, amen.
We shall assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble at the throne with humble hearts into his presence. We bring an offering of song, glory and honor and dominion unto the Lamb, unto the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing the song of the redeemed, and at the end of our journey, we shall bow down on bended knee, and with the angels up in heaven, we'll sing the song of victory, glory and honor and dominion unto the Lamb, unto the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing the song of the redeemed, glory and honor and dominion unto the Lamb, unto the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing the song of the redeemed.
These next two songs are to prepare our minds and hearts for the Lord's Supper this morning.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I am the Lord that strengthens thee. I am the Lord that strengthens thee.
This time we'll be doing communion. If you weren't able to pick up one of the implement items at the back, men will be passing through the aisle here to do that. We also have some up in the balcony for people that didn't get them up there. All right, let's go to our Father in prayer to bless this bread. Dear Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for the blessings you give us. Thank you for the sacrifice you made by having Jesus die on the cross to forgive us our sins. Thank you for that. Gives us the opportunity of having a home with you in heaven. Dear Father, we ask that you bless this bread, which represents his body that was on the cross. Help us to stay focused on that and on you and the service that we need to be providing you. Dear Father, bless this as we partake and bless us as we partake of it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's go to our Father in prayer again. Dear Father, we can't imagine the suffering that Jesus had on the cross. Dear Father, we ask that you help us to realize that and to help us recommit to your service and to your plan. Dear Father, thank you for this fruit of the vine, which represents the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. Help us to remember that and help us to partake in a manner pleasing to thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
All right, Lydia's going to help hold the bucket today. So as we sing, you guys come down and put your money in here. And then those of you that are going to our children's worship, you are dismissed for that. Blue skies and rainbows and sunbeams from heaven are what I can see. When my Lord is living in me, I know that Jesus is well and alive today. He makes his home in my heart. Nevermore would I be all alone since he promise me that we never would part. Tall mountains, green valleys, the beauty that surrounds me makes me aware of the one who made it all. I know that Jesus is well and alive today. He makes his home in my heart. Nevermore would I be all alone since he promised me that we never would part. All right, thank you all.
got a bonus song from Andy. We're going to go ahead and sing Jesus Loves Little Children too. So,
Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus died for all the children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus died for all the children of the world.
If it's convenient, would you please be standing for this song before David's lesson this morning? This has got a strong bass lead, so guys, don't be bashful.
Each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. My life on earth is but a span, and so I'll do the best I can. Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. To be a child of God each day, my light must shine along the way. I'll sing His praise while ages roll, and strive to help some troubled soul. Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. While going down life's weary road, I'll try to lift some traveler's load. I'll try to turn the night to day, make flowers bloom along the way. Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun.
Exercise this morning anyway, so I'm going to have you stand up again and just look around you, right around you, and see if there's anybody that's new, somebody that you need to say hi to, somebody that needs a well wish and encouragement. So just do that just for a moment, okay? I was going to have to go retrieve my my remote anyway, so. How are you today? Yeah, yeah, this just gives me a chance without embarrassing myself and saying, hey, I forgot it, you know.
Long time no see.
Hey, good morning. I don't know what that's all about, but it looks good. You know, are we allowed to do that? Okay, let's go. There I go. You know what's fun about this? We're timing you. All right. No talking about basketball. All right, balcony, you can sit down now. You know what's interesting about this? I don't know how Chad's doing it back there or not. I don't know if he started the recording before or after this, but can you imagine how that must sound to people who tune into this and say, what in the world is going on in that church, you know? But anyway, it's good. It's good to be back together. It's good for COVID to be where we can try to just be ourselves again, isn't it? Isn't it good, you know? I see a pharmacist over here saying, I don't know, you know? You know, what's supposed to be my professional opinion on that, right? Oh, man, it's good to be with you this morning. I just want to pray again, okay? Can you bow with me, please? Father God, I ask for you to bless me this morning. May I speak for you. May it not be my words, but may it be yours. And I pray, Father, that when I preach, I'll preach to me first. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, what we want to talk about this morning, we've been doing this study of the intergenerational approach to ministry. And I thank you for your patience. I know Deuteronomy might not be at the top of your list of the books in the Bible that you want to study, but you've been really good students in this. I've had several of you come to me and say, I've never seen that before. And I love that. I love hearing that. You know, we're looking at a book maybe deeper than what we have before, and that's good for us. But I think it also is helpful for us to realize that what Moses was doing in the book of Deuteronomy, what he was teaching to the people as they were getting ready to enter into the promised land, is much like what we're needing to do in our intergenerational, our generation-to-generation ministry in the church. Because he was saying to a group of people who had not experienced all the things that the generation before had experienced. I mean, this is, remember, the first generation coming out of Egyptian bondage was sinful. They had sent out the spies to spy out the land. When the spies came back with the report, they said, oh, we can't do that. You know, no. Only Joshua and Caleb said, we can do it. God is with us. Let's go. Let's get it done. The 10 others said, nah, no way. Oh, it's a great place to go, but we can't do it. And the people listened to the 10 spies who were negative. And God said, because of that, you're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years instead of entering into the promised land. So Moses now is talking to the second generation. And he's saying, when you go over in the new land, you're responsible for the generation after you. And that generation is responsible for the generation after that. And every generation carries the responsibility for the next generation. And that's what we're talking about. And as we're in transition, talking about a new youth minister and how to get our youth ministry going and keep it going and so forth, we need to remember that. And the principles of Deuteronomy are as clear today as they should have been then, okay? Now, today I want to talk about intergenerational choices. Let me say one more thing before I jump into that. I taught a class this morning in the auditorium here. Thank you for all of you who were here this morning. We had the teens, Hubert's class on Revelation, and the GPS class all joined together this morning. And I taught more about some specifics about the intergenerational ministry. If you didn't catch that this morning, we did record that. And you can go to our website and you can listen to it. And if you have any questions about it, ask me. I'll be glad to talk to you about it. Okay, this morning we're going to talk about intergenerational choices. And all those passages are a part of what we want to talk about this morning. I think there's a slide in between there. I guess not. Okay, all right. The choice number one, the choice of freedom. Choice number two is the choice of fortune. Number three is the choice of the future. And number four is the choice of fate. And I think it's important that we think about these choices that one generation is helping the next generation make. And we need to understand in our church that all of us are contributing to the whole, collectively, to the choices that this church will make for all of these areas. Our choices for the freedom, for the choices of fortune, the choices of future, and the choices of fate. So let's begin with the first one. If you have your Bibles, you may want to look with me in this passage in Deuteronomy 11, verses 26 through 28. 11, 26 through 28. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commands of the Lord, your God, which I command you today. And the curse, if you do not obey the command of the Lord, your God, but turn aside from the way that I am commanding you today to go after other gods that you have not known. All right, now notice, he says, you have a choice. You can choose the blessing or you can choose the curse. To obey is a blessing. To disobey is a curse. That seems pretty straightforward. What we would say about freedom is that we have the freedom of choice. That's what we emphasize most of the time. I have the freedom of choice. That's one of the great values of the United States of America, that we have the freedom of choice. That's the reason why we don't live with a dictator or a king. We're not ruled by a small group of people who have that position in our world because they have the money and the power. We have freedom of choice. We make decisions about our country, about our laws, about who we put in office. And although we may gripe and complain about who's in office or how things aren't going the way we want it to go, we need to never lose sight of the fact that when you compare what we have, when it comes to freedom, there's nothing that measures up to it. There's not a country in the world that measures up to what we have. And we enjoy our freedom. But it's interesting, though, when you talk about freedom of choice, when it comes to God, God gives us freedom of choice also. But the choice to disobey God doesn't bring freedom. The choice to disobey God actually enslaves you. You become under the power of, and you're making the decision to do this, under the power of Satan and under the rule of sin in your life. If you make the choice to reject God. And God says very plainly that you make that choice, it is not really a choice of freedom. If you use your freedom of choice to make the wrong choice, then you choose to enslave yourself. So I think it's important for us to understand that if we work generation to generation, the older generation helping the younger generation, while also the younger generation is learning to serve the needs of the older generation, that it works back and forth. And we all contribute to making the right decisions for our freedom. This church will have a history of great choices if we help each other make the right choices. Now we have the freedom of choice, and we can choose wrongly. We can choose to do things that God will not bless. And we can say, well, we exercised our freedom of choice, but where did that get you? What does that do for our future? How do we know, older generation, and believe me, I realize I'm in that number. Older generation, how do we know that the little kids in our congregation, if the Lord doesn't come back before, and when they get in the position of the church where they're making the decisions for this church, who will be in the future leadership of this congregation? Who will be the minister? Who will be the youth minister? Choices about the ministry we'll offer to the community. The choices about the missionaries that we'll support. All of those different choices that the older generation now is making, how do we know that they will make the right choices? How do we know? Well, if you don't do something about helping them know how to make those right choices, they very well may make the wrong choices. The freedom of choice is best when people are educated how to choose correctly. The less we know about the options and the consequences of those options, the less the ability for us to make the right choices. And as the church supports one another in making the right choices, then we're better, at least we have a better possibility of the right choices being made. And what better way to help young people begin the process of making the right choices than to engage them into the choices right now? Churches are some of the places that you'll find. Churches are the places where you'll often find are ruled by an older generation without the participation of the younger generation, and that's one of the reasons why the younger generation leaves before they become the leaders of the congregation. I mean, you can't deny the statistical information that the generation of teens now, as they come to adulthood, are leaving churches and they're leaving their faith. And part of the reason for that is that they haven't had a generation ahead of them working with them about coming to an understanding of how to choose what's the right choice. And now you may be thinking, well, I told them. I've told my kids what they need to do. You may think, you know, if you're a teacher in our education program, or if you're one of our deacons or elders or whatever, even a mom and dad, you may be thinking right now, well, I tell my kids what they need to choose. Now, how does that work for you? I mean, one of the things about growing up, folks, this is just reality, okay? Can I just talk honestly with you for a moment? One of the things that you do in growing up is come through a stage of saying, you know, I don't need mom and dad as much as I used to. I can decide for myself. Now, you may not like that period of their maturing, but it's a vital part of their maturing. It's an important part of the maturing process is that they get to that point where they make their own decisions, where they can stand on their own ability to choose correctly. And what we need to do, they're not going to stay babies forever where we tell them exactly what they need to do because it's a danger if they don't. They, as they mature, need to be taught how to choose. And the information, how to gather the information, how to separate the true facts from the false facts that are out there. how to sort through it, how to have an educated view of things, how to have a perception that takes in a broader perspective. We don't want to teach them to buy into the biases and the prejudices of the past. We don't want them to just make decisions based on our choices. There comes a time when their faith needs to be their faith. And if the church is going to be strong and stable, standing on a solid foundation of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and led by the power of the Holy Spirit, we of the older generation have to start letting the younger generation make decisions about the future of this church with the right ability to make choices. They have the freedom of choice. One thing we might ask ourselves, are we giving the younger generations enough freedom of choice to choose wisely? If you let the younger generation participate in the choices of the church now, you can have more confidence that when they are fully the ones who are leading in that effort, they'll be doing the same with the next generation and do it wisely. Secondly, the choice of fortune. Do we have any fortune seekers out among us? You know, I don't know. You know, some people who really work in the stock market business and stuff like that, I have to wonder, are they fortune seekers? Or, you know, how many people do we have going and digging up old gold mines and things like that, or silver mines or so forth? There's something about the quest for the fortune. You know, I want you to notice this passage in Deuteronomy 23. Go over to chapter 23, verses 3 through 6. And this may surprise you how Moses tells them to seek their fortune. You got it? 23, 3 through 6. No Ammonite or Moabite may enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the 10th generation. Wow. None of them may enter the assembly of the Lord forever because they did not meet with you and offer you bread and water on the way when you came out of Egypt, and because they hired against you Balaam, the son of Beor, from Pethor of Mesopotamia to curse you. But the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam. Instead, the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you because the Lord your God loved you. You shall not seek their peace or their prosperity all your days forever. All right, when you get over into the promised land, there's going to be surrounding you these nations that look like, wow, there's where our fortune is. You're going to be tempted, especially when you become disobedient to God and God doesn't send his rains and the harvests don't come in quite as plentiful as they were before. And you begin to wonder, is there greener grass over in the other pastures? And you're going to be tempted to go back, you know, and make some treaties with these other countries that I've said, look, you leave those people alone and they have no part with you. They have demonstrated when you were coming out of Egypt that they don't want to have a good relationship with you. So don't be thinking that you can go find your fortune over there. And then he illustrates it with this wonderful story in Numbers chapter 22 through 24. You remember the story of Balaam and the donkey? You remember that story? If you don't remember it, you need to read it. I can't read all three chapters with you this morning. But that's a wonderful story. But this idea is, you know, the king of an enemy nation is saying, hey, I want you to go and I want you to get this prophet and go make a prophecy against Israel. Go make a prophecy against Israel. And the prophet, you know, is promised a fortune. He said, man, I'll make you rich if you'll go do this. Go do this, and I'll pay you a boatload of money. Now, this is Bearden's translation, okay? It doesn't say it exactly like that, okay? But, you know, something along that line, you know? You can do this, okay? So he decides he's going to do it. He's going to go and prophesy against Israel. And as he's riding in to do it, his donkey rebels against him. The donkey stops and won't move. And I mean, he's beating on the donkey and saying, man, come on, go, go, you know. And the donkey is seeing an angel in front of him. And he keeps this up. And then finally, the donkey talks to him. Now, I got to tell you, now, I would pay attention to that. Wouldn't you? I mean, if the donkey I'm riding on starts talking to me, I mean, it's not only not doing what I'm telling it to do, and it's not only stopping dead in its tracks, but donkeys do that sometimes, okay? That's not that crazy. But what's crazy here is the donkey starts talking to him. And you know, that prophet decides, you know, maybe I shouldn't do this. The donkey says, isn't this kind of strange to you? Now, this is Bearden's translation again, but doesn't this seem a little strange to do? Don't you think that God might have something to do with this? Maybe you shouldn't do this. And he doesn't. And the king said, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you speak this negative prophecy against Israel so that they'll be cursed and so they'll become, you know, disoriented and so forth, thinking that God has cursed them instead of blessing them? Why didn't you do that? And he said, look, I've consulted with God and God says not to do this. And he offers him more money and he still won't do it. Now, the point that Moses is making by referring back to this story, which I'm sure they've heard over and over again. This is one of those great bedtime stories you could tell your kids, you know. When you put them down for the night, you know, and say, hey, let me tell you the story. You know, let me tell you a story tonight before you go to sleep. And the kids say, hey, can you tell the story about the donkey again? I mean, I could see the kids wanting to hear that story over and over again. They've heard this story. And so Moses, instead of just saying, don't seek your fortune over in the enemy camp, trust God to provide you your fortune, he says, remember the story of Balaam? And I mean, immediately they think, oh, the donkey story. They know the story. All right, church, here's my question for us. Do our kids know our stories as a church, our stories of faith? Our stories where we might would have made a decision that was different because we were seeking our fortune elsewhere, and yet they needed to hear how we made the right choices because we knew God would bless us. It might not seem so at the time, but we trusted God, and we told the truth, and we did it the way God wanted us to. Are they hearing our stories? Do they know the stories of our faith? Okay, now listen to me, because if you don't hear me on this, you're going to go out here and you're going to spread a rumor about me that's not true. But listen to me. The stories of our faith are not us telling them they can't have instrumental music or anything along that line. That doesn't help them in their faith journey. The prohibitions of our church, there's a place for us to explain our doctrine and our traditions. There's a place for that. But that doesn't build faith. In fact, what it can do is coach them in legalism and thinking that we're about a church that can tell you what we don't do instead of telling you what we do do. Moses says, do you remember the story of the donkey? Do you remember the point of the story? And they're saying, yeah, we remember that story. And you better listen to God and don't change the message of God's truth. Because they had a story that they passed on from one generation to the next to illustrate it. What's our story to the younger generation? Can our young people tell us our great stories of faith? Or are they just hearing what we don't allow, what we don't do? What about telling them our heroes of faith that stood against those who would try to get them to change the truth? Do you hear me, church? Don't you dare go out here and say that, oh, David preached on instrumental music Sunday and he said it was okay. I didn't say that. Now, sometime we need to have a sermon about that. We need to talk about that. We need to discuss that. But that's not my point this morning. I don't want our church growing up children that can tell you just the things that our traditions don't do. I want them to be able to tell the great stories of faith, of how we stood against Satan and we stood tall and strong. Church, you've got some great stories of faith. I know churches that went through what you went through a couple of youth ministers ago that would not have been still standing today. I know of some churches that have dealt with the blows of deaths of key leaders in the church that would not have withstood that test. You've got stories of faith that tell the younger generation that we stood for the Lord regardless of what Satan threw at us. Let them hear those stories. Let them hear those positive things and not consider their future wrapped up in the negatives. Number three, I need to rush here. The church, the choice of the future. Let me just share quickly a passage to you. If you have your Bibles, look in Deuteronomy chapter 29. I want to read verses 9 through 13 with you. Deuteronomy 29, verses 9 through 13. Therefore keep the words of this covenant and do them that you may prosper in all that you do. You are standing today. Now listen to this. You are standing today, all of you, before the Lord your God, the heads of your tribes, your elders, your officers, all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and the sojourners who are in your camp. From the ones who chops your wood to the one who draws your water, so that you may enter into the sworn covenant of the Lord your God, which the Lord your God is making with you today, that you may establish you today as his people, and that he may be your God as he promised you, as he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I want you to think about what he's saying about their future. And this is not, okay, let's huddle the elders together. Let's talk about the future of this church. That's not what he's doing here. He's getting everybody together. And he names who all's there. He said, I want you to look around you. Look who all's here. And we're talking about little bitty people are here too. And not just people that are the Israelites who are in good standing. These are even people who have decided to join us on this journey. The people who are traveling with us, they're part of this too. I want you to think about the choices that we make about our future, and we make them collectively, together. And the decisions that we make impact future generations. One of the things that concerned me, and I don't want to get into politics this morning, but one of the things I keep hearing is, well, who's going to pay for this? Who's going to pay for this? The trillions of dollars that we're putting into things, the debt that we're acquiring, and whether we agree with what's being spent for, we wonder, who's going to pay for it? I mean, we're putting on our backs debt that will go generation after generation after generation. Do we ask those questions about the church? And Moses says to the people who are assembled, and he said, look here, all of you, you know, husbands, wives, elders, children, people who aren't even a part of our nation who are traveling with us. What is our future? What decisions are we going to make for our future? Because our kids will bear the responsibility for the choices that we make today. What decisions are we going to make that will make an impact on our kids? You know, I am so proud of this church for the way you've given for us to remodel the building. Now, it's frustrating, I know. It's taking so long to do it. I mean, the chairs that we're trying to get are so far out. We don't even know where they are right now. We're like, it's going to be months before you're going to get those chairs, you know? That's frustrating, I know. And you know, you think about, okay, now, how do we go about doing, you know, changing ceiling tiles and getting the wiring done that we need to do while we have ceiling tiles out and putting the right lights back up there and all these things, you know? And thank goodness for David Copeland and Jacob Russell and guys who know that kind of stuff and they can make those kind of decisions. But we still have to be asking those questions, not just about what we're doing now, but the future. And right now, the children who are in our children's ministry are just as important as the Duracells who are in our senior saints ministry. Don't forget that. And Moses is saying, look around you. There's not anybody more important than anybody else. Even the people who aren't a part of us, who have decided to join and be a part of us, they're just as important too. The ones who draw our water and cut our wood, they're just as important as anybody else. And whatever choices we make, what decisions we make, impacts all the generations in the future. I love what happened this morning. Craig, I was wonderful to have your son up here pray. Do you see how that impacts the future generations? Now, there might be some people in the audience who say, I don't know if we should be doing that. You know, I mean, doesn't that open the door for other kids to think that they could come up there and do that? Oh, it might. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Every time we engage together intergenerationally, we impact our future. And we say, we're not making decisions just on the now, we're making decisions on the future. Okay? One last point I want to lay on you. Your fate. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 through 20, and you can read it on your own. It repeats basically what's been said over and over and over again. If you'll notice in that context of those three chapters right around there, Moses lists all these curses and he lists all these blessings and he basically says, look, you know, choose your fate. It's a blessing or a curse. Make your choice. But then he adds something to it that he didn't say earlier, and that is, and to choose wrongly is to choose death. And to choose God is life. I see this in the New Testament. Jesus keeps trying to tell people as he's with them. He says, look, choose me and you choose life. Don't choose me and you're choosing death. You know, as Jesus was saying, look, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to have to die there. And his apostles are really upset about that. And they say, how in the world can that, I mean, you're supposed to be our king. How can you go and get killed before you establish your kingdom? That can't work. And Jesus said, listen to me. I want you to be comforted in these words. No matter what happens, in my Father's house is a house for you, is a place for you, is a room for you. We sang a song this morning about a better life because there's a better life coming. Jesus said, don't worry about that. God's going to take care of you. And then he answers the questions about how can this work? How is this going to all fit together? He says, listen to me. Here's the thing you need to know. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Make a choice. You want life? Choose me. You want death? choose something else. Anything else you choose is death. Spiritual death. Eternal death. Choose Jesus, it's eternal life. Moses was saying this that long ago. He was saying, listen, every generation needs to help every other generation remember. This is not just a choice that you make about your future, about your fortune. It's about your fate. What is going to happen to you forever, for eternity? Death or life? Church, I can't overemphasize this. Little kids in our church right now are making decisions about where they'll spend eternity based on this church. And you say, well, David, you know, they need to know God's word and they need to make a decision about Jesus themselves. You can't hold us responsible for that. Yes, I can. Moses said to a whole nation of people, you are responsible for what the children decide, life or death. Graham Street Church of Christ, we are responsible for those little 3 through 5 year olds that went up to children's church. We're responsible for whether they choose heaven or hell. Let's get serious about that. We worry more about the pews or the chairs than we do about whether the little kids are going to go to heaven or hell. Let's get serious about this. We're not here to serve ourselves. We're about helping the next generation. Whatever generation you're in, you're responsible for the generation coming up behind you and your own generation of going to heaven. Choosing life. You will give an account. I don't want to stand in judgment before God and know that some of our little ones did not choose eternal life because our church didn't represent Jesus well enough to them that they would understand the choice. That's our choice. Choose life or death. It's our choice. Each of us individually make that choice. But there's someone that influences that choice. There was a time in my life where I wrestled with some things that I could have chosen death. And there were some key individuals in my life who reminded me of what really counts. And I made the right choice because of that influence. You are influencing other people. Church, we are influencing these kids, these teenagers, these young parents. We're, this church as a whole, we have an impact on the choice that they make to live eternally with God through Jesus Christ or to live eternally in spiritual death separated from God. So we need to get serious about it. You ask, well, when are we going to start searching for a youth minister? Church, we don't have to wait for hiring a youth minister to be concerned about how we deal with our children and our teens. And it will not be a magic bullet when we hire somebody that, okay, it's their responsibility now. Let's get serious. Whose responsibility is it? It's ours. It's ours. It's not who we'll hire. It's ours. And if you haven't taken that responsibility seriously, if you haven't been looking at your own life and thinking about how it may be impacting a young person, I'm asking you this morning to repent of that and to change. Change the way you act because somebody may be choosing death because of what they see in you. I love you, church. I'm glad I'm here to work with you. But I'm telling you, we have to take this responsibility seriously. We will be held accountable. Let's stand and sing.
You are holy, and you are mighty. You are worthy, worthy of praise. And I will follow, and I will listen, and I will love you all of my days. And I will sing to and worship the King who is worthy. I will love and adore him. I will bow down before him. I will sing to and worship the King who is worthy. I will love and adore him. I will bow down before him. He's my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for him. You are holy, and you are mighty. You are worthy, worthy of praise. And I will follow, and I will listen, and I will love you all of my days. And I will sing to and worship the King who is worthy. I will love and adore him. I will bow down before him. I will sing to and worship the King who is worthy. I will love and adore him. I will bow down before him. He's my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for him. Yes, he's my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for him. Please be seated.
Thank you, David. That's a great lesson. Thank you, Quincy, for leading our singing. Thank you for being here this morning. We're glad to see everybody out. It's been a blessing to be together this morning. Y'all, some of y'all may have heard Don Jones wasn't feeling well during class, and he was taken over to the hospital. We don't know what his situation is right now, but y'all be in prayer for him today. Also, Mike Dacus is having knee replacement surgery in the morning, so y'all remember him in your prayers as well. And Taylor wanted me to tell you, next Sunday at our fourth Sunday luncheon, he will be doing a presentation on our mission trip to Kentucky. So y'all please hang around and join us for that. And as David said earlier, we'll have a contribution in a few minutes for the people in the Ukraine. So after I pray, then the kids will come and take up that collection. Pray with me, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this church family. We thank you for the love that we have for you. And we're so thankful and grateful for the love that you have for us and by the sending of your Son to be our sacrifice to save us, to allow us to be in relationship with you. Pray that we will live up to our responsibility to our young ones, that we will teach them about you, teach them your ways, teach them to have that relationship with you. And may they grow in that and be a strength. And may this church grow and prosper and have that intergenerational dimension that we need, that we so desperately need to depend on one another. And may we all ultimately depend on you. We're thankful for all that you do for us, and we just continue to seek your guidance in our lives. We're mindful now, right now, where there's so many in the world that are hurting. We're mindful of all those folks in the Ukraine. Their world's been turned upside down. There's been so much death and destruction. And we ask for your hand to be involved there. We ask for you to put a stop to the fighting. And not only in that country, but even in our own country, there's so much disheaval and people being upset about this and that. We pray that people would look to you. We pray that they would find peace and that they would find strength by looking to you. Watch over each of us this week. Help us to look for those opportunities to bless those around us. We pray also for Don and for Mike. Pray that Mike's surgery will go well tomorrow, that you would watch over him, give him the strength that he needs to get back to his normal health. Be with those doctors that are taking care of that situation in the morning and pray that all goes well there. And we pray also for Don. We don't know exactly what is needed right now, but we ask for your watch care over him. We ask all this through Christ. Amen.
I want to thank everyone for the singing this morning. And as the baskets are still being passed, if you feel led to give, please do so. We're going to go ahead and close with this last song here. Continue to sing right out. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Lord, we lift up your name with hearts full of praise. So be exalted, O Lord my God. Hosanna in the highest. Glory to the King of Kings. Glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings. Lord, we lift up your name with hearts full of praise. So be exalted, O Lord my God. Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna in the highest.
Have a blessed week. You're dismissed.